Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take for Sunday, July 19th, 2026. I'm your host, Blaise Olson, and this week we kick off the Sunday Take debate series with a debate among CD2, Congressional District 2, DFL candidates who will face off in an August 11th primary. Joining me are Senator Matt Klein, former Senator Matt Little, and State Representative Kayla Berg. All the candidates have drawn numbers. We have an order of opening and closing statements. And Matt Little, you will start with a one-minute opening statement.
All right. Well, thanks, boys. And thanks for doing this debate. It's been a while since I've seen you in person, so it is also personally good to see you again. Name's Matt Little. I was born and raised in Lakeville. My parents still live in the house I grew up in. I was able to serve as a city councilor and mayor of Lakeville and also serve in the state senate for Southern Dakota County. I'm married to my wife, Coco, who I met in law school. So I've held a few titles, but the one I care about most is dad. We've got a seven-year-old. Her name is Poppy. She's watching right now. And I'm running this race for her because there has to be something left for her in this country. Our foreign policy is in shambles. Our healthcare system is breaking. We need Medicare for all. ICE is murdering people in the streets. They need to be completely replaced. Data centers are taking over our local communities, and we need a moratorium. So that's what I'm running for, my daughter on those issues.
Representative Kayla Berg.
Well, thank you so much for having me this morning. I'm Kayla Berg. I am a three-term state representative, a union flight attendant, labor leader, and mom to two amazing young men finding their way in the world. And I am the only working class candidate in this race. I still live paycheck to paycheck, working both of my jobs, serving my community and serving those at 30,000 feet. I've gone without health care as a flight attendant, a frontline worker during the pandemic. I know what it's like to have your kids wake up in the middle of the night with an earache and have to try to decide whether to take them to the emergency room or wait till the clinic opens because it'll throw the family budget off for months. I am running to fight for working people. We have far too many systems that are meant to keep working people down, and there is no one better to fight for us than one of us, and that's why I'm running.
State Senator Matt Klein.
Thank you, Blaise. And you know that I'm a physician and I've practiced many years at Hennepin County Medical Center. It was the experiences of my patients that drove me to run for the state senate 10 years ago. And now my patients are telling me that they can't afford their lives. They can't afford their health care and they're fearful for our democracy. I've seen personally the life and death consequences of no access to health care. And I'm ready to take on Donald Trump and RFK Jr. And I have a track record of success. I've lowered drug costs in the Minnesota legislature. I've offered legislation that would protect science and vaccines. I've voted to ban assault weapons, and I've fought corruption. I kicked payday lenders out of our state. I've protected Minnesotans from financial fraud, and I offered legislation that would ban legislators from becoming lobbyists. Now I'm ready to step in against the corruption and greed of the Trump family. To do this, we're going to need good people of good character. We're going to need fighters. We're going to need fighters who get results. We need to dismantle ICE and pursue justice for the victims of ICE and restore the integrity of our leaders and institutions. I'm ready for that work, boys, and I'm hopeful I can earn the votes.
We're going to start with the first question. It is going to be about health care, and we'll start with Representative Berg. Health care is the number one issue on voters' minds by all the data that we have that were there. Democrats promised that the Affordable Care Act would solve some of the issues with health care. What do we need to do on health care? You have 90 seconds.
Well, look, our health care system is broken. We are in a crisis. I was talking to a teacher on the doors who pays a third of her salary in health care for her and her family. Look, we need Medicare for all. People deserve coverage. They need it now, immediately. That's why I'm endorsed by Our Revolution, because they know I'm the best candidate in this race on Medicare for all. I'm excited to go to Congress and fight for that for everyone.
Matt Klein.
I've spent my life seeing Minnesotans one patient at a time, and I now have thousands of their stories that I carry with me on this campaign trail every day. I know what it means when you can't access health care. I know that health care is a right, and we need to move in this country to a place where we treat health care the same way we treat public education. It's accessible to you because you live here. It's good for you. It's the moral thing to do, and it's good for our society as a whole. That's what I will support. In the state senate, I've always offered a public option as the next achievable step in our current political environment to make sure we do something urgently and in the moment to lower costs for Minnesotans who are trying to access health care. That's the approach I would take at the United States Congress as well. I would also try to regulate drug prices much more aggressively and ensure that we can negotiate drug prices for all Medicare-covered medications.
Matt Little?
Thanks, Boyce. I think the only solution is Medicare for all. Our current system is entirely broken. Premiums are way too high. People can't afford the deductible. That's why it's the number one issue, no matter what party you're in. Now, there is a question of whose is the best on this issue, and I think we should look to the author of the Medicare for All bill. Representative Pramila Jayapal has endorsed my campaign. And I think that's because, although Representative Berg and Senator Klein have expressed support for Medicare for All, they have both said they would fight for a public option first. That's on their websites and that's in their social media. The problem with that is passing a public option first will completely destroy the opportunity to actually pass Medicare for All in 2029 when we take back the U.S. House, U.S. Senate, and the presidency. The reason that is because a public option, what that would actually do is people that are sick, people that don't have the money, will only hop on the public option when they need it. And that means people that have the money and that are healthy are going to hop on the private insurance. It's going to overload our system on the public option. It ends up being another handout to these private insurance companies. That's why I think it's important to vote for someone that's going to fight for Medicare for All first.
Can I have a rebuttal, please?
Sure.
Thank you so much. Having gone without health care, having struggled my whole life, depended on Minnesota Care, we need to offer any option for people to get coverage now. I have talked to a national organization fighting for Medicare for All. They say a public option creates the infrastructure to slide Medicare for All in when we get there. And look, I have signed on to Minnesota's version of Medicare for All. Look at our votes. Mr. Little here voted with Republicans when he was in the state Senate to gut Minnesota Care and give a blank check to insurance companies. I think we need to back up what we say. I hope voters do the research.
Matt Little, rebuttal.
Thanks, Boyce. I do think Representative Berg is incorrect about that vote. That vote was in support of reinsurance. Reinsurance is actually a major tenet of Obamacare. I do encourage listeners to go on Google and ask, is reinsurance part of Obamacare? You're going to get a yes answer. I made sure that people that were very sick, that farmers who were on the individual market didn't have premiums increase. That was what that vote is about. So I would, if there's a different vote you're pointing to, I would love to see that. But public option does not set up the infrastructure for Medicare for All. It's going to make it impossible to pass Medicare for All. Again, that's why the author of Medicare for All is endorsing my campaign.
I'm going to stay on healthcare here, and we're going to start this next question with Senator Matt Klein. One of the challenges as Minnesota is a healthcare leading state has been that reimbursement rates from the state have shrunk. In fact, they're some of the lowest in the country, which has caused great fragility in our current system. How do you ensure that providers have the resources to serve all the patients in a Medicare for All situation? Senator Klein?
Yeah, no, and it's going to get worse because as we're facing $1 trillion in medical assistance cuts coming nationwide, what you'll see is that rural hospitals simply cannot stay afloat on those margins. Home services that sort of keep people, seniors and people with disabilities out of the nursing home, out of the hospital, those will be cut, and it's going to get a lot tougher. We need to reverse those cuts and also increase reimbursement rates, both for Medicare and also for medical assistance. In addition, Blois, you know that there are intrinsic, inherent problems with the incentives in our healthcare system. As a physician, when I go to see a patient, there's a bureaucracy that comes in afterwards and makes sure that's the highest coded, most expensive visit it can be, because that's how you keep the lights on at a hospital. It's not corrupt or fraudulent in and of itself, but it does create incentives. Similarly, insurance companies are motivated to provide the least possible care they can because that's how they balance their books. Those are perverse incentives. They hurt healthcare. They hurt Minnesotans. And we need to reform the system inside and out so that we're actually rewarding good healthcare.
Matt Little.
Yeah, thanks. When you ask that question, the thing I think about is nursing homes around the state, which just continue to struggle to remain open. A big problem with why that's happening is because in Minnesota, and it's similar in other states, you have to spend every dollar you have down to $3,000 before you actually qualify for medical assistance. And so, again, that's something that the Medicare for All bill would take care of. It would cover long-term care. It would stabilize the ability to get, for these facilities to get paid. But obviously, the cuts to health care by Donald Trump to bring tax breaks to his buddies is a serious problem in this country and has gutted our health care system even further. But the only way we're going to solve this problem is to eliminate those incentives, those negative incentives that Senator Klein talked about, and that's through Medicare for All.
Representative Kayla Berg.
Thank you, Blois. Look, we're three Democrats here. We're going to agree largely on this issue. But, you know, Melissa Hortman in the Minnesota House taught us that a budget is a moral document. And we are seeing billions of dollars a day being spent on an illegal and unconstitutional war with Iran, jacking up prices for all of us here at home, killing our service members, our men and women. And that is happening in healthcare. If we can spend billions of dollars a day on a war, if we can lose our tax dollars to the billionaires lining their pockets with it, then we can pay for Medicare for All, strong public schools, accessible and affordable child care. We just need to send fighters there that are willing to force the issue of having a budget be a moral document. It is that simple.
We're going to move on to the next topic now, and we'll start with Matt Little. Public safety is now a top three issue in the minds of Minnesotans. Democrats have struggled on kind of finding balance on public safety the last few years. Representative Angie Craig has been endorsed by law enforcement. What, as a member of Congress, can you do on the issue of law enforcement and public safety in the district?
Yeah, thanks, Boyce. And I think people can look to my record on the issue of public safety. I have, throughout my entire career, supported our local police department. When I was mayor, we made sure that we funded an electronic crimes unit as those crimes were emerging. We didn't have anything, and so we made sure to get funding for that. In the state Senate, I was a co-author of the bill to create the Smart Center in Dakota County to train first responders in dealing with mental health crises. So that has been, you know, that's been my history on the issue, and I'll continue to do that in Congress to make sure that our local law enforcement has what they need. But there is another side of this issue, which is, I think, what ICE has done has degraded the profession. There were people that were completely untrained, that were indiscriminately stopping people and then discriminating against people based on the color of their skin and what language they spoke. So to improve public safety, we also need to completely replace ICE. They cannot exist in this country or operate in this country with any sort of credibility anymore.
Representative Berg.
Thank you, Blois. I sat on the Public Safety Committee this last session, the last biennium, and coming out of the violent occupation in our streets with ICE, the complete federal lawlessness that we experienced. I represent the most diverse city in the South Metro. We were targeted since late November, early December. And it put our local law enforcement in a real bind. They wanted to protect our citizens and our friends and our neighbors. And so agreed, we need to, as Tina Smith says, strip ICE down to the studs and start over. They cannot and will not operate the way that they have. I will say, you know, we have come through horrific political violence and just a tragic and unthinkable school shooting. And my gun violence prevention bill was the last gun violence prevention bill we passed in the state. Governor Walz campaigned on it on the vice presidential trail. And I will tell you, when Speaker of the House wouldn't bring the gun violence prevention package that the Senate passed to the floor, we did a sit-in. And we defended our children and our families here in the state of Minnesota.
Senator Matt Klein.
Well, Blois, it's a particularly relevant question for this race because the voters and the people of Congressional District 2 have clearly demonstrated that they stand by law enforcement, they stand with our first responders, and they've rewarded, you know, candidates who do so with their votes and their support. I worked shoulder to shoulder with law enforcement for years on the night shift in the emergency department at Hennepin County Medical Center. Highly professional, trained individuals who do a dangerous job, a necessary job for us every day, subject to a great deal of pushback. I've sought and received the support and endorsement of the Minnesota Professional Firefighters. I am seeking the support and endorsement of the Minnesota Police and Professional Organization, and I will continue to seek that because that's how you represent CD2 well. That's what they expect. It is true that our own law enforcement officers hold themselves to the highest standard, and the invasion by federal agents this last winter was debasing to that and offensive to our true professionals in the field.
Last question before we take our first break. Representative Berg, education, Minnesota has been a leading state, but test scores have slipped. The federal government has given the state more freedom on education in the last previous years, but the state has still continued to struggle on test scores and even keeping kids in school. Can you talk about what you would advocate for in Congress on behalf of Minnesotans related to education?
Look, one of the reasons I ran for the Minnesota House Bloys was because I watched my youngest son struggle through his entire educational experience. I advocated for him every single day within a broken education system. It comes down to funding. We need to pay our teachers, our support staff, a living wage with benefits, with a retirement package that they can retire with dignity. And look, one of the bills I'm most proud of in my time in the legislature is authoring, passing, and funding a bill to put mental health support personnel in every public school in the state. That was important coming out of COVID, and we couldn't have known how important it would be with our kiddos coming out of this ICE occupation that didn't understand what was happening around them. We need to have fully resourced wraparound services in our schools to address the needs of all of our students and their families. So again, it comes down to a budget being a moral document. Fund our education. These kiddos are our future. They deserve the greatest chance at an education that we can provide.
Matt Klein?
Well, I think a lot of what we're seeing with test scores can be attributed to washout from the pandemic. We're still recovering in my field in healthcare from the devastating effects of that two- or three-year period, and I think in the educational field as well. And you're right that we have grievous problems with sort of attendance and with capture by students in our schools. We did our best in the Minnesota legislature a few years ago, passed the READ Act, and we're funding that now. And I think reforming sort of our approach to teaching very young children to read is essential. Getting people into pre-kindergarten early without cost is essential to sort of rebuilding this. And I think in this moment in particular, rebuilding our resources around mental health in the schools is essential. That's why I've supported mental health grants to our public schools so that people can seek care where they are in school. You know that for years, the special education cross-subsidy at the federal mm-hmm. level has been woefully underfunded. It's a perennial boogeyman, and it needs to be addressed. I will commit to that work when I get to Congress.
Matt Lowe?
Thanks, boys. I think we all agree here on the cross-subsidy. That has been a burn Minnesota's craw for a long time. But I would also say, we need a Department of Education that's funded, that can handle doing evidence-based practices, that can be used by all our schools, not only in Minnesota, but nationwide, because when we head to Congress, it's not just about Minnesota, it's about our entire country. But all the data says that child care is deeply expensive before you get to kindergarten. It's incredibly expensive. We paid about $1,800 a month for our one kid. So we spent about $90,000 before Poppy went to kindergarten. That is completely unaffordable. And I'm fighting for universal pre-K in this country because all the data says that the return on that investment is anywhere between $3 to $9 for every $1 you spend. And the cost to start doing that is about $40 billion investment from the nation. We've already spent $132 billion in Iran. So if we can correct our foreign policy, we can afford this too. And the return on investment is massive. Test scores will be driven way up in the long term.
We're going to take a break. You're listening to the Congressional District 2 DFL debate on Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blois Olson. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into more issues related to Congress and this race. Welcome back to Sunday Take. We have a DFL Congressional District debate today in CD2. This is the race for the seat that is currently held by Representative Angie Craig. We're going to start with you, Matt Little. One of the challenges everyday Minnesotans struggle with is the polarization in our country. Mm. Each of you in many answers have talked about ICE have talked about Donald Trump. What is one issue that you are willing to speak out loud and buck your party on if you're elected to Congress?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I think the things I buck my party on most are centered around agriculture, and I think maybe that's just because of my upbringing. You know, my grandparents started a farm in western Wisconsin in the late 60s, and so I grew up working there on the weekends and milking cows in the summer. So maybe that's part of my experience. But I think the one I would probably buck my party the most on is year-round ethanol I would support.
Senator Matt Klein, what would you buck your party on?
You know, similarly, I think agriculture is an area where Democrats have really lost our voice and lost our support. And CD2 is particularly relevant in this regard. You know, we have urban areas in the north and farmers in the south, and Democrats underperform in that southern area. We've lost the support of those people who should be essentially part of the DFL. We need to reinstate the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement so that it's predictable and creates stability for farmers in the South. And we need to talk to them about the inputs and the costs that they have. I would also support year-round E15.
Kayla Burke.
Thank you, Blois. So we are the DFL here in Minnesota, and we have left the F and the L behind for many years. Look, my work for over two decades has centered around the hardworking families in this district and across this country. Labor is the backbone of this nation, and we need to fight for them. I think it's less about, is there one particular issue you can identify that you would buck your caucus? To me, it's about standing in your integrity, taking the gift that the voters who place their faith and trust in you to do the right thing at exactly the right moment, even when it's hard. We owe the voters the utmost integrity in everything that we do, and I'm ready to give that in Congress, just like I have in the Minnesota House.
Senator Matt Klein, we'll go to you on this next question. Minnesota's economy has struggled to grow at the rate of the rest of the country. A lot of that is attributable to no job growth here, no inward migration of the workforce. And many business leaders and middle-class folks have said that that's because of overregulation in our state. Much of that is over the last 12 years under Democratic governors. What are regulations that you believe the federal government or you would advocate for growth that would help Minnesota?
Absolutely. And not only would it help Minnesota, it would help a lot of initiatives that Democrats firmly believe in, like green energy sourcing and so forth. I've been a staunch advocate for permitting reform at the Minnesota legislature. It takes far too long to innovate in the state of Minnesota. If you want to come forward with a solar project or a new business idea that you want to develop, we should absolutely be fostering that and incentivizing that. Instead, we burden people with 3 to 4 years of delays. I know that Governor Klobuchar, as she's coming in, has ideas for a one-step process to move that forward efficiently. We should certainly apply that at the federal level. We need to build out green energy, and we need to do it in a big hurry. And it's going to mean getting out of the way of innovators and investors so that they can do that work.
Kelly Burke.
Thank you, Blois. Look, we absolutely need to support our small businesses. I was on the Workforce and Economic Development Committee this last biennium, and we put a lot of money into grants for our small businesses. But this still remains the best state to live and to work and raise a family. What we are facing, it has been the last 12 years too, is 1.5 terms of Donald Trump's corruption and a billionaire first agenda in this country that is keeping all of us down. And so that's the focus that we need to think of as we are creating policy, both at the state and federal level.
Matt Little.
Thanks again, boys. I think I don't want to say anything out of turn, but I think I'm the only one that's run a small business here. And I know how complicated it gets to run a small business. And you know, I'm an attorney. I'm legally trained. And to wade through all the taxes and all the different places you have to pay and sign up for and register for, it's incredibly complicated to get going. So I think at the federal level, we should do what we should have done a long time ago and really simplify taxes for small business owners so that they don't have to hire an accountant and an attorney to wade through it. I think that would be a really easy start. But from a structural standpoint, you know, healthcare and housing continue to be the things that are dampening our economy. And I will add student loans, actually, as a third. So there's a couple things we can do there in housing, there's what's called the missing middle. There's a lot of housing units that are anywhere between 5 and 50 housing units that most developers don't build. So we could actually change the structure a little bit of what's called the federal home loan banking system to require funding those projects, which would increase the amount of housing available. Because right now in Minnesota, 40 years old is the average age of a first-time home buyer, which is actually insane. And then on student loans, I think we should set student loans at 2% interest on every single loan, and that will help our economy as well, and it will allow people to buy houses. It will allow them to start a small business, and that 2% interest rate is the cost of the administration of the loans. We shouldn't be profiting off our students' futures. We should be supporting them.
The next topic is Israel. This past week, the U.S. House took a vote on funding Israel. It became controversial on both sides of the aisle, but especially in Minnesota, related to Angie Craig and her vote. You are all campaigning to replace her. What's your position on Israel and funding it? Kayla Burke?
Look, that was an ill-written piece of legislation. It was political gamesmanship from the Republicans meant to divide, and it did. We shouldn't send one more tax dollar to Israel. We cannot be responsible for funding the genocide in Gaza. We need to use diplomacy. We need to provide humanitarian aid into Gaza. Benjamin Netanyahu's government should not be funded by the United States. Not one more penny. And this war in Iran that he is largely responsible for is jacking up the prices for hardworking families here in Minnesota and across this country. And it needs to come to an end.
Matt Little?
Yeah, this is an issue I've been speaking out about for over a year, ever since we started the campaign. I think that is a big difference in this race. I believe Representative Berg has only started speaking about it recently. I don't think we should send any more military aid to Israel. And I would go even farther. We need an arms embargo on the sale of all weapons to Israel. We can no longer be a part of this. I'm the first person in this race to call it a genocide, because that is exactly what it is. 10% of people, 10% have been killed or injured, and that number has gone up. If that happened here in the United States, that would be 35 million people. I don't know what else you would call it. And I also think on this issue, it is very important to check where your candidates are getting their funding from, because that is going to determine how they vote. I would 100% have voted for that amendment. I would offer it if I could. I don't think it's all that political. I think it's a moral issue. Senator Klein has had $200,000 bundled for him by AIPAC, and AIPAC has funneled money to Kayla Berg's super PACs. And you have to check as a voter who people are getting their money from and who's spending money on them on this issue.
Matt Klein?
Well, thank you. Blaise, as a father and as a physician, I know that what is occurring in Gaza is a humanitarian disaster, and it is our obligation as an ally and a friend of the State of Israel to try to end that and come to a peaceful solution, a two-state solution that provides dignity and safety for peoples of that entire region. I am a supporter of our alliance with the State of Israel, just as I am a patriotic American who has deep difficulties with Donald Trump's leadership. I am a supporter of our friendship with Israel, who deeply objects to the way President Netanyahu has prosecuted this war. We can get to a better solution. We can move to a two-state solution and ensure dignity for all the peoples of that region.
Rebuttal, please.
Go ahead.
I do not take AIPAC money. It is not funneled through anything. Mr. Little thinks that there are organizations who have been fighting for decades for reproductive freedom, for bodily autonomy for all, is somehow a front for AIPAC. It is simply not true. He knows that. I do not take AIPAC money. I do not take money from any organization that does not align with my values. I am supported by labor, by organizations working to elect pro-choice women, Everytown for Gun Safety, and Citizens United. Clearly, I am not taking any money from AIPAC.
Matt Little?
Thank you, Blaise. I would simply ask, are there any PACs that are supporting you and spending money on your behalf in this race that have taken money from AIPAC in the last year?
Matt Klein?
Rebuttal. It is important for Minnesotans to know how their candidates are funded, so I'll tell you how my candidate is funded. I do take PACs, labor PAC money from labor unions, as do the other two candidates in this race. The other PAC money that I have accepted is from medical professional societies like the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Every other dollar that comes into my race comes from individual donors who support me because they think it's a good time to have a physician who will push back against Trump and RFK Jr. in this moment. The other two candidates in this race are being funded by dark money that comes from outside this state advocating for us to make decisions on their behalf. Everything that happens in my race is funded by me. I stand behind it, and it's paid for by my campaign and my donors.
We're going to just shift to talk about campaign finance reform since that's what we're talking about. There's a lot of terms thrown around, dark money, super PACs. But the reality is that all campaigns in general have a way in which money finds their way in to the campaign. Citizens United is one issue. But we'll start with you, Matt Little. What is it that you would advocate for in Congress that would fix our campaign finance system?
Yeah, thanks, boys. And if I could, I did want to allow Representative Burke to answer my question.
Keep going.
Okay. I appreciate that. I think there needs to be some level of public financing so that everybody can participate in this process, whether they're incumbent, whether they have all the lobbying contacts, whether they have a super PAC behind them. I think there needs to be some level of funding. If you get the signatures, you get a certain amount of money so that you can compete. That levels the field. Also, I don't think the Supreme Court's going to go for this, but we should shorten the campaign season like a lot of countries do. I think I'm sick of it. I think all of us have been campaigning since the spring. You know, we announced on May 1st of last year. People are sick of it. They're sick of the ads. They're sick of us calling them for money. Our system is completely broken. So some level of public financing with a shortened campaign season. And if I may, we have no dark money. I'll just do a rebuttal now. We have absolutely no dark money. The only one that's spent on our behalf is the Nurses Union. They spent a mailer. Representative Berg has gotten about $470,000 in outside spending. But what I'm talking about with Senator Klein was what's called bundling, when an organization goes to their members and they coalesce all this money on your behalf. And APEC did that for Matt Klein in the last quarter.
Matt Klein?
Yeah, you know, I think Citizens United is the starting point, and we can't get very far unless we do overturn that legislation and take corporate PAC money out of our campaigns and also make it not a source of significant funding to tilt the scales in significant campaigns. All of us congressional candidates have learned the hard way over the last year that you spend a lot of time and energy on these campaigns asking people for money. Often they're not people who live in the district you're seeking to represent. Often their interests are not aligned with the people that you are seeking to be elected by. And so I think that's a perversion of what has occurred in American politics. I read about Teddy Roosevelt, and I can't imagine him doing 30 hours of call time a week the way that many of us are doing. So if we could simplify and create limits on campaign spending, I think that would be wise.
Kayla Burke?
Thank you, Blois. I'm not entirely sure what the other two candidates here mean, but look, End Citizens United, the leading organization fighting to get dark money out of politics, corporate money out of politics, and ban congressional stock trading, took a look at this field and said, she's the one. She's the best on our issues. 2.5 decades of fighting against corporations as a labor organizer and leader. Do I have support from organizations that work hard to elect pro-choice women? Yes, because I will fight with everything that I have so that Poppy can make decisions about her own body without interference from organizations or politicians. Everything that has come into my campaign or organizations, relationships that I've built over 20 years across this country that said she is real, she's authentic, we trust her, we want her in Congress. And look, as the working class candidate in this race, I do not have access to fancy doctor and fancy lawyers, deep pocket donors. We have reoccurring $3 donations, meaning someone out there has very little, but what they have that's a little bit extra comes to us. We are funded by grassroots, people-powered donors in this campaign.
Matt Little, rebuttal.
Yeah, well, just to be clear on record, Poppy is going to support my campaign and my fight for her. And I would just appreciate, Poppy is for me to talk about and not for other candidates. But here's what I would say. The question I asked remains unanswered about whether or not super PACs that are supporting Representative Berg have taken APAC money in the last year. That question is unanswered because I'm right on that issue.
So I want to be clear. APAC is not a PAC, and bundling happens across all organizations. And I think it's important because this is an issue in the U.S. Senate race right now. And for listeners who are just listening, I want to be clear that bundling happens amongst many groups, and it's when individuals give to a candidate based on the support of an organization. I want to move on to the next question. Sure. There is a major debate within the Democratic Party nationally, and it is local as well, related to the role of Democratic Socialists in the DFL. Representative Berg, we'll start with you. Mm-hmm. Our revolution, founded by Bernie Sanders, has endorsed your campaign. Mm-hmm. Where do you differentiate yourself from Democratic Socialists?
Look, I'm not a Democratic Socialist. Do I believe the billionaires are running this country right now? Yes, that's very obvious. Am I here to fight the systems that keep working people down? Absolutely. Our revolution endorsed me because they know I am a working class fighter. I have spent my entire adult life lifting up workers, fighting for the issues that are important to them. I'm the best candidate on Medicare for All. They support my campaign because who they know I am, the work that I've done, and the fight that they see in me to take care of our hardworking families in Minnesota and across the country.
Matt Little?
Yeah, thank you. I've been a DFLer since I was 14. And that happened because my mom got really sick and she needed to go on leave to get very expensive surgery. And her workplace was telling her she couldn't go on leave. You know, the family leave law came into place 8 years before she got sick. And you know who stepped up to help her was Paul Wellstone. And Paul Wellstone asked her to come and meet with him about what she was going through. And when she showed up to the meeting, it turned out it was a press conference. And my mom is a huge introvert, and she was so scared, but she told them, she told people what was going on. I knew from that moment that the DFL was my party. So I'm not DSA. But to go back to your original question, what is something I would disagree on? I think that would be rent control. I don't think it works in the long term.
Matt Klein.
So I'm proud in this campaign to have the endorsement of, on the left, Zainab Mohammed, Senator Zainab Mohammed, who is a DSA senator from Minneapolis, and on the right, Senator Grant Housechild, who represents the Iron Range and is one of our more conservative people in the legislature. That is the sort of big tent we need to win these elections. You know, I don't agree with those two people on many political issues. They certainly don't always agree with me, but we trust each other to advance the values of Democrats. We are going to move towards health care for all. We're going to push back against lies and corruption from Donald Trump. We are going to make life more affordable for Minnesotans. We have that level of trust. That's how we win elections, not by fostering a civil war within the Democratic Party and choosing sides, but by coming together on shared values and winning elections.
We'll start with you, Senator Klein. What is one vote you've regretted in the Minnesota legislature?
Well, you know, you take so many, and there's amendments and everything else. When I first got to the Minnesota legislature, I took up the charge of speaking vehemently against Republicans on reinsurance. And I was philosophically opposed to the idea of sort of buying down health insurance costs by giving money to health insurance companies. And I still think there's a better solution to that issue. But it turns out that it was successful. In the moment, it lowered costs for farmers and small business owners who had to buy on the individual market. It worked. It has continued to work. I think there's a better way to do it, but I was wrong to vote against it.
Senator Matt Little.
Yeah, thanks, boys. I think that the toughest ones were probably 2020, where we were trying to get a bonding bill done, and there was, you know, a second reading or where there was a lot of good stuff in there for my district. I ended up voting against it because I thought I could get a better deal. I got a slightly better deal, but I think that's where, you know, I have some regrets where sometimes for the relationships across the aisle, it makes sense to, you know, take an earlier deal.
Kayla Burke.
Thank you, Blois. Frankly, I'm not sure I regret any of my votes. Look, I've I've been in the legislature and led through a global pandemic, through a DFL trifecta where we made transformative change across the state for families who were suffering, and then with horrific political violence. And I stand by the things that I voted for. I listened to our chairs. I listened to the debate. I asked questions. I researched. I think we did a pretty great job these last three terms.
The last question before closing statements. The 2nd Congressional District remains one of very few in America that is politically competitive. Yeah. Representative Angie Craig has fought both through amendment and in caucus to ensure that the party represents the whole district, from the suburbs to the farm country. If elected, how do you ensure that you can represent the entire district, not just the caucus in D.C. or the party back at home? And we'll start with you, Matt Little.
Thanks. I think I can represent the district best because I'm from here. I am CD2. I grew up in Lakeville, attended Parkview Elementary, Scott Hollins Middle School in Apple Valley, and then ended up at Rosemont High School. I've held jobs in Lakeville, in Eagan, in Hastings. I grew up, working at the Apple Valley Walmart, the Goodwill, the Arby's. I am very tied into this district, and so I know it so well. But I also say, I think I have the best background for the agricultural community here, having grown up with it. In 2020, I was one of the few folks that had the endorsement of the Farm Bureau and the Farmers Union, which is not an easy thing to do. I understand the issues from top to bottom of this district, and I think I'd be the best representative for it.
Matt Klein?
What the voters of CD2 have traditionally rewarded is legislators who treat it as a job and go there to solve problems, who face the expectations of their constituents, who have real needs, and work to solve those needs. I always tell the story as a physician, if I go into work and there's a young patient with appendicitis and I need to work with a surgeon and maybe we don't like each other or agree on much, but we have a job to do, we have a patient with expectations, and we're going to get it done. That's how I've approached my work as a legislator. That's how I have worked in the state Senate, and that's how I would work as a congressperson. My commerce bill this last year, the last vote I took, got 49 votes. Democrats and Republicans supported that bill to make life safer for Minnesotans. That's the way I'll work in Congress, and I think that's what CD2 will reward.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Blois. Look, I grew up in Northfield, and I raised my family in Burnsville. This is truly my home. But look, look at our records. My time in the legislature, the bills that I've authored and passed are far superior to my competitors here. You want someone effective? Send a union member to Congress. I passed a landmark worker protection bill that went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and they upheld it. We aren't in normal times right now in our nation's history. We are at a turning point. And you would not believe the momentum and the energy behind a different candidate, someone who our voters see themselves in, someone who sees as a fighter and as somebody who is truly going to look out for them, not beholden to special interests or any fancy donors, but somebody who struggles right alongside them, doesn't just know things are hard because we see it on the news. They come to me, they tell me what they are struggling through. And it's the same, my friend. I get it. And it's really, really amazing to see the response on the doors to our communications. Voters are ready for a candidate like me.
We're going to move to closing statements now. Candidates drew numbers before the debate, and the first closing statement will be Matt Klein.
Thanks, Blois, and thanks so much for holding us. I really think it's valuable and important in this moment that Minnesotans are able to see the candidates and what they believe in this moment. Americans are in a tough spot right now. They do have a right to deserve a better out of their government. They should be able to access health care without going broke. Minnesotans should be able to buy a house and fill the gas tank and cook a dinner and take a vacation. And that's what we need to deliver as a responsible government and a responsible Congress. I'm bringing my experience as a doctor to this race to fix what's wrong with health care and push back on RFK Jr. and Donald Trump. I'm bringing my track record of fighting corruption, fraud, and greed in the Minnesota Senate and winning those debates. We need good and smart people in Congress in this moment. We need people of integrity and courage and character, and we need fighters
but fighters who get results. That's what I've done, and I'm ready for the next challenge.
Representative Burke.
Thank you so much, Blois, and thank you for bringing us here today. It's great for the voters to hear the differences between each of us, even though largely we believe in many of the same things, taking care of our communities, and that that is government's role. But I just want to say, over the course of this debate, I've talked a little bit about myself and my story and the work that I've done. But I'll tell you, there's about five of us union members from across the country. They call us the Blue Collar Brigade. And the responses that we are seeing across the country for a different kind of candidate, we are in the mess we're in because of the status quo. It does not work. Established Democrats, party insiders, it doesn't work. Hardworking families in CD2 in Minnesota and across the country are getting left behind. That ends with this campaign. This is not a campaign. It is a movement, and I invite people to join us.
Matt Little.
All right. And thank you, Blois. This was great. We covered a broad range of topics that I don't think we've covered at any of the other forums or debates. So truly appreciate it. I know it's not easy to be the moderator sometimes. So again, just truly appreciate it. We need generational change. It's time for a generational moment in our country. We get these every 25 to 30 years, and we're in one now. Everything is breaking. Nothing's working. Foreign policy shambles, healthcare in shambles, economy in shambles. And in 2029, when we take back the U.S. Senate and the presidency and we have the U.S. House, we're going to have an opportunity to do something huge. I think that should be Medicare for all. I think that should be a heavy investment in housing. I think that should be livable wages. But there are clear differences in this race about who is going to advocate for your interests. I don't take money from corporate PAC money. I don't take money from AIPAC money. And I'm the only one in this race calling for a moratorium on data centers. My fellow candidates both voted for over $300 million in tax breaks that last 35 years for data centers. Our communities are deeply concerned about these things. And so let's pick a candidate that's going to fight for you.
Well, I want to thank the candidates. Debates are something that I think are more and more important in the social media, content-driven, TV-driven world. And I appreciate all of you being here today. I know this will be a race that we will cover, and we will have a general election debate invite out as well. We will. I know our next forum is at FarmFest. It will be with gubernatorial candidates. But I also want to use this chance to give a call out, because if you listen to this debate and you appreciate it, share it. It's online. You can find it at thedailyagenda.com later today. But also, there are three primary races where candidates are not debating. One is the Republican U.S. Senate race. Two is the DFL Senate race. And three is the Republican governor's race. In each of those races, Michelle Tafoya, Peggy Flanagan, and Lisa Damith, respectively, have all said they will not debate further. In each case, if you have a connection to those campaigns or you care about dialogue in this race, please reach out to those campaigns. We still have time before the August 11th primary. I want to thank you for listening to Sunday Take. I'll be with Vanita at 6:20 tomorrow. We'll break down this debate and more. Until next week, that's The Take.